Welcome to the Uncommon Life Podcast, Conversations for the Whole Woman, where we dissect, explore, and innovate new ways in what it means to be a whole woman. With self-care, managing relationships, and really just understanding, defining, and redefining who it is that you are through every stage of your life. Join your host, me, Asia B, as we explore these topics and really define what it means to live life uncommonly. Hey guys, it's Asia B, and on today's episode, we are going to be chatting it up with Miracle Rose. Miracle is a native of St. Louis, Missouri. Born at 26 weeks, she was born a fighter. She's overcome many challenges, and her greatest joy is to serve others as well. Her first book, Stop Putting a Comma Where You Need a Period, is a testimony of God's wisdom and love bestowed upon her as she hopes to give the same wisdom to others. She's served on staff and leadership as a church core leader and prayer leader in her local church. She's also led prophetic rooms and has taught many Bible studies. Miracle is the author of Stop Putting a Comma Where You Need a Period and No More Commas. She has a heart for teaching and helping those who are broken and rejected. Miracle's passion is to help others overcome and receive breakthrough by the power of Jesus Christ that lives in her. I'm so super excited, you guys, to introduce you to Miracle Rose.
I actually was married twice previously, and I had a son out of high school, and I was 19, and I remember having him, and it's funny because me and his dad weren't even really together, but I had this idea that most people have when they have children, that they want a family. So I thought, you know, we should move in together and we have to be a real family. And then once we moved in together, that wasn't enough for me because I literally felt like, well, God will only bless us if we get married. And so lo and behold, I married my child's father, and the marriage literally lasted 4 months.
Wow.
And I realized literally the day I married him afterwards, I had made like a big, huge mistake. You know, why would I rush into marriage? I was what, 20? You know, why would I think that marriage was the answer? You know? And so, that was that marriage. And, lo and behold, couple of years later, maybe about 3 or 4 years later, I ended up meeting my ex. And so this is my second ex. And so when I met him, though, and I shared it in my book, I was very vulnerable. I was actually befriended to another guy for like 2 years before I met my second ex-husband, and I actually thought this guy was the one. Like, he alluded that I was the one for him, and we were talking about the future, but I think my heart got shattered when I found out that he actually had somebody else. And at that time, I was just so vulnerable, and I think, and I even wrote in my book, you need to take time to process things that happen, any kind of relationship trauma, any trauma at all, but specifically relationship trauma, you have to process that, because if you don't process it, grieve it, etc., you will be vulnerable, and it's like you'll be open for anything. Mm-hmm. And so the anything came. Mm-hmm. And anything was packaged as a leader in ministry, and seemingly a man after my own heart. He was actually 14 years older than me, so he was in his late 30s, and he had never had any children. Mm. And so, you know, in the dating world, that's like, what? You know, to meet a man that's in his 30s and don't have any children, and I had my one. And so his values seemed to look like they were my values, but they really weren't. And I had to find out the hard way after I married him. You really get to know somebody deeply. And I just found out that, you know, what he was a man that, you know, to be honest, accepted Jesus as his savior, but didn't accept him as his Lord, and he was walking around living worldly in some extent. So, yeah.
Wow. So let's take a step back, because that was a lot. But I think you hit like on some critical things, because the first takeaway is a lot that we do sometimes when we are in religion and we are practicing faith is that we try to cover up and fix a situation that we've gotten ourselves into. So going back to your first situation, you probably knew that this wasn't it, but your mind, your religious mind is like, you know, God is not going to bless this situation we've created. So we need to fix it in the eyes of God. And not to say that something like that is necessarily a bad strategy. You know, because sometimes you do need to turn the corner and correct the wrongs, and then God will assist you in that. But I think the challenge and the difference is when we try to overstep and we create a situation like, oh, I'm going to say, like, God didn't tell you to do that. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm going to say that we need to do this because it's going to correct it and God will now bless it. So talk to me a little bit about the disappointment that, because you took a bold step saying, let's get married, because that's huge. Tell me a little bit about the disappointment when you realize, oh no, this is a mistake.
Yeah. To be honest, I think a lot of young people go through, and I was like the poster child for, I could not wait to be an adult. I could not wait to have a family. I could not wait to have it all, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having it all for some people does start with a family. So I was that child, period. But when I married him and the backlash came of like, what did I just do? In hindsight, now today, I realized I didn't have to try to clean up my mess. You know, speaking of God of my faith, I didn't have to try to play cleanup. You know, even after I had our son, I did not have to do anything else. I didn't have to continue on with the relationship. I didn't have to think about marriage. Wasn't and isn't God enough to clean up the mess that I made?
Yeah.
So
you said, like, going back, like, God could have fixed, like, it was one mistake, you know what I mean? Like, and when you think about, like, you know, the power of God, he could have stepped in and said, okay, you made this mistake. This is what you need to do. This is what I want you to do. Because a mistake doesn't mean that it's the end all be all. You know what I mean? Like, we think sometimes we fall from grace. We make a decision and we really make we take on a lesson that needs to happen. We really have an experience to broaden who we are, to broaden, you know, what it is that we are here to do in this earth. Because I believe the truth is when you have a child in a situation, when a child is brought forth to the earth, that child needed to be here for some sort of reason. You know what I mean? Like, no matter the circumstance, and I know that kind of makes some people uncomfortable, specifically when we talk about rape and things of that nature. So, like, taking the trauma aside from it, you know what I mean? Like, what is the life and what is the next step now that I have this life? So, looking back, do you think you would have gotten married?
Looking back, I should have just sat in my mess. I should not have tried to clean it up. I also think I didn't have enough self-worth at the time, and I constantly mention this in my book. Self-worth is so important because I didn't even have enough self-worth about myself in regards to God loving me so that he would love me in my mess. Mm-hmm. And so I think I would have walked away. Mm. You know, or there shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
Right.
Through the process.
Right.
You know, I'm on the other end, but if I would have allowed myself to avoid that, I would have avoided it, because I really think it just caused more heartache and pain with the marriage and then the divorce. Mm-hmm. Because that all was traumatizing in its own way. I wouldn't have had to go through that.
Yeah.
So sometimes we can put ourselves in situations. And of course, you know, God works all things out. And it all worked out. That child of mine is 19 today.
Yeah.
So it did literally all worked out. But I think as regard to God being my father, he loves me and he loves you. And you don't have to play cleanup to your mess.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. I love that. So you got a divorce and then you met someone else, but you had not done the work that you needed to do with that self-worth, with that trying to figure out how you got into the mess. Because I think that sometimes when you find yourself in a situation where you are in a mess, it's like, okay, I'm in this mess and that's okay. What did I learn from the situation? And that's I think one of the key things that people miss is the lesson. Like we get so caught up in beating ourselves up sometimes. We get so caught up in, oh my God, I should not have. And it's like, okay, you did. And that's okay. Like it's a part of your story. It's not your story. It's a part of your story.
Right.
But now looking back, you didn't do the work and you ended up in the next relationship where many times when we enter in, and I'm not going to speak for you, I'm going to let you speak, but we see somebody and they are in the faith. They are in a faith, you know, they're a man of God and they proclaim this and they are in ministry and things like that. And then we kind of lower our guard to miss like some of like the red flags, because you're like, oh no, like you, the way that I honor God and the way that I honor my spirituality is, you know, if somebody is under that same cover, then you expect for them to handle themselves in the same way that you would, or to honor the book and things like that. Talk a little bit about like in the beginning, what your feelings were, what your thoughts were, because you had just transitioned from, I'm going to say traumatic experience, you know, going through a divorce, because I feel like that's difficult. Talk a little bit about that.
So, yeah. So by the time I met my second husband, I had been divorced maybe 3 or 4 years. And it's funny that you said, you know, you have to do the work and do the healing. I really thought I did the healing, so to speak. You know, I was totally a different person. I was still in my 20s. And I say this all the time. Still, even in your 20s, just be sure, because you have still a long life ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And you're still kind of young in your 20s. And I think I thought I was more mature than what I was. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why I was so open to the illusion of my second husband and being, you know, compatible in our faith. And when I met him, again, I was vulnerable. And I thought that, you know, this is it, you know, he can be a good father to my little boy at the time, and he doesn't have any children. And I think I was just looking at the outward and the acts that he was putting on. But if I would have waited a little bit longer, I would have noticed the fruit. And the fruit is what I tell people, that's what matters, is the fruit. What is the fruit? You can only have good or bad fruit. And what is it? I should have waited a little bit longer, and then I would have saw major things that I would have walked away from. Yeah.
That, I feel like that is what it's, I feel like that's a major key. And what I think is the major key is that sometimes we get into a relationship and we move so fast.
Yes.
And because it's like, it's almost like a whirlwind. It's like, oh, he's perfect. This is this. We're, this is great. He's going to be a great father. You know, this is amazing. And we start to see all of the goodness, which is not a bad thing. But I think the true test is to give it time. Like, why are you rushing? You know, older people are like, slow down, slow down, slow down. And there's so much wisdom in moving slowly, because I think that when you initially meet somebody, you don't meet the fullness of who they are. You just meet what they want you to see. You know what I mean? And so, and that's with anybody. You present yourself, you know, you present your best self. You don't normally come in to a situation with, oh, I'm toxic. You know what I mean? Like, oh, these are my bad habits. You know what I mean? You usually come in with like all of the sparkly and the good things about yourself. And so I think a notable key in what you said is like, take your time. So even though you may have done the work, you know what I mean, to get you up into that point, being in your 20s is one thing, because you're so young and you're still green. I think I heard you say your husband was like 14 years your senior. Mm-hmm. Okay. So being 14 years your senior, he already has you 14 years, you know, ahead, just because he's had life experience. You know what I mean? He's had some experience that you haven't had. And so you get into relationship with him. If things are moving, I guess, pretty fast at that point, as you said. Tell me what it looks like.
So things actually moved very fast for us. I think we met, if I had to say a timeline, we met in June, I believe, and we were married like in September. Wow. So it was like super, super fast. And again, there you go back to, you know, thinking this is the one and you're being so excited. And I think there's something about when you're rushing things, you feel like, and this goes with anything, you feel like you're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't settle this, I'm going to lose it. And I think part of it was he was kind of more rushy than me, if I'm being real. He was kind of like, let's get this thing done. Let me ask you to marry me and all of this. And so lo and behold, I was married to him. And I remember one of our first instances of something that happened traumatizing wise was I was pregnant. He didn't have any children. So within the first year, I was pregnant. And when I was pregnant with our son, we got into like a minor argument. And all I know is that I was pregnant sleeping on the floor. And that was like a red flag. And then it persisted, and we had another argument. And I remember thinking, I'm still pregnant, you know, let me just go to somebody else's house. And I remember I went to a friend of ours. Now, let me go back a little bit. I moved here from another state to marry him because I lived in St. Louis and he lived here. So I didn't have any family here. I didn't have any like friends of mine here. I didn't have any peoples. Yeah. And so whatever peoples that I had, I inherited from him. So to fast forward back to the story, when we got into another kind of altercation, I went over to a friend of his house who had become my friends, and I just stayed the night there, me and my son. And I remember them saying, oh my goodness, I thought he had changed. Mm. And that was like, what is happening? What did I get myself into? I just felt like tricked, duped. What is happening?
Yeah. Wow. So at that point, why didn't you leave? Why did you stay?
So, like I said, we were a year in. I was pregnant. I really masked a lot of things with my faith, and I thought, since we're both Christian, a man and woman, God will work it out. And I think that was like my anthem for the 7 years we were married, was God will fix it. God knows. If I pray a little harder, God will work it out. But really, I think in the end, it came down to God will work it out, but what is God asking you to do? Because towards the end, it became so toxic, and then it affected our children, that I literally had to make a choice. Not the godly, good Christian answer choice, but the for your safety, and how is God really directing you choice.
Miracle. This is a thing. I feel like this is a thing, because Why do we do that? Why do we think that God is going to override our free will when he's showing you, girl, get up, girl, I'm telling you what to do. I'm showing you what to do. But we get like so caught up in, oh, God will fix it. Yeah, God can fix it. But again, did God tell you to do that? Did God tell you that he was the one? Or was that something else? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's grace and there is mercy and there is, God is like, I'm going to cover you and protect you. You know, I'm not going to let anything serious happen to you, you know, but I also need you to get these lessons, baby girl, so you can gather your things and go. You know, you need to, because you are powerful. It's not just my power. I created you powerful. I created you to stand and know that when I've instructed you to do something, that you have the power. Don't lessen yourself. Don't weaken your power to just say, oh, because it's almost like, and I don't, not to be, because I've experienced this too, right? So it's not, I'm also speaking like to myself and about myself. It's like, you become like a victim in the sense, because you're not honoring yourself and your voice. And so you continue on a path that is like, why are you doing this? Why? So looking back, because you're at two children now, right?
So we're two children when this altercation happened, and I'm at the friend's house and they said, I thought he has changed. Yes, for two children.
And then how did you go from two to five?
So I think this was, so my ex-husband, his prayer and who he was is he wanted as many children as God allowed him to have.
Okay.
And I think part of that was he started so late. There was, and I haven't necessarily said this publicly per se, but there was times of, you know, sexual abuse that happened, and, you know, you part the Red Sea or whatever else, you know, for the lack of better words. And there was just times, because he had a goal of, I need children, you know, I was caught in the middle. And I'm not saying I'm not thankful for our five children. They're a blessing to me,
yeah.
Period. But I do believe we could have had more and more and more. And I had to really set a boundary, like, I can't. You know, there was a time in our marriage where I could not.
Yeah. Wow. So I want to just give a minute, because that was heavy.
That was heavy.
When, especially because we don't, many times we don't acknowledge sexual abuse in a marriage. You know what I mean? And it's not even to say that, again, that you're not grateful for your children, because I know that you are. I know that you love being their mother. You honor them. You cherish them. I know that to be true. But it's the trauma of knowing that you were abused in a situation, and just giving yourself that second to just, because that's heavy. That's heavy. And I think that's heavy. What advice would you give somebody right now, knowing what you know now and knowing what you endured, you know, th- through that time, the trauma, because I think also there's some level, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's mental manipulation sometimes to make you feel like this is what it should be, especially when you're coming from a religious standpoint, because many times in religion, women are taught that you honor your husband, you follow your husband is the head, your husband is the leader, and it can make you feel less than, you know, if you're not careful, or if you don't really understand what that means, you know?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to a woman right now who's in the midst of that, who's battling with that?
Yeah, so that is exactly it. When you have religious things ingrained in you, taken really out of content, like submit to your husband and honor your husband, and you're walking around, which I was, walking around, and even he would say stuff to manipulate the situations of, you need to submit to me, and you want to honor God, you want to please him, and you think you're doing that by doing what your husband wants. I would say our God is not like that. Mm-hmm. You know, really true submission, what it looks like is your husband need to be submitted to God, and then you're able to fully submit to your husband. And if he's not submitted to God, you will know, because the fruit will say otherwise. The fruit will be bad if he's not submitted to God. And so I would say, you know, that is a big red flag, period. Mm-hmm. Like, it ain't no making excuse. It's not using, make sure you're not using religion and your religious upbringing and what's ingrained in you as an excuse. That is wrong, mm-hmm. period. And God has so much better for you, period. So
I love it. And I think that is critical. And aside from that, what I think is even more important is that women learn religion for themselves. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I think we talked about it before, but I was raised Muslim. And I think as an adult, you know, as I studied, I've always had an inclination for religion and really understanding, you know, religion and what the scripture actually says. And I think it's important that you learn God, you learn the scripture, you learn all of those things for yourself, because there is sometimes spiritual manipulation. And there's also sometimes where you are told something and you're given a framing on a scripture that is not so. You're given an ideal of what a wife looks like that is not so. And so I think also it's important for women to not only empower themselves in their religion and really know, like in Christianity, they say, try the spirit by the spirit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I hear what you're saying, but is that so? Like, and let's dive a little deeper into what that looks like, because no sir and no ma'am, like, we're not just out here all willy-nilly just taking man's interpretation of something. Like, what does God say? And even if you don't fully understand the scripture, what is God speaking into your spirit about it? You know, what is God showing you about it? Because looking back, I'm sure you saw a couple of signs where God was like, baby girl, no ma'am, no ma'am. Like, I see what he's saying, but no ma'am. So I think it's important that we start to empower ourselves and not necessarily create a divisive household. Because I do think there is something to, sometimes we need correction as people, you know, and I think that what you said about your husband submitting to God, there is correction in that. Because when you truly, as you are submitting to your husband and as he is submitting to God, God will correct his behavior. And you can then go and speak to God and say, God, help me with this. God, show me this. And God will then speak to him on your behalf. So it's not like you're just out here all willy-nilly, like, oh, I'm submitting and I'm open and I'm a, for lack of a better word, a doggone fool. You know what I mean? Like, out here just doing whatever. I know the channels. I know what it is. I know how to speak to God too. Like, I'm a submit, but I'm a also seek wisdom. I'm a also seek God on my own to make sure that my submission is true submission and that it's what I'm being called to do. So now you're at 2, 3, 4, 5 children, and you make the courageous decision that this is not it. I gotta go. What did that look like?
So actually something happened that was just, I could not go on, and it was dealing with one of our children, and I just had to do what I had to do for them. At the time, I said these words out of my mouth. I said, I could have dealt with the abuse. I could have dealt with whatever he was throwing my way, but I cannot let our kids deal with it. That's a mama bear comes out. And I said that at the time because since then, I should not have accepted that. I should not have accepted abuse in any form, you know, period. I shouldn't have thought that, you know, well, I can accept it, but, oh, the kids, I can't, you know, I have to be mama bear. I should have been my own bear for me, for myself, for my heart, for my mind, etc. So I did make the decision to leave. And it was definitely a step of faith. I had lived here, married to him only. I had stayed at home for most of the time that we were married. So I didn't have any kind of job situation. I didn't have anything, any means to even get an apartment. But I decided to just go forth and try to find an apartment. Got an apartment, lady named Hope. Mm. Literally was there to approve the apartment. I never saw Hope again. So I know that God literally set all of that up, and I didn't look back.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I feel like you just like you saying the things and but like you don't, I, do you really know like how powerful this is? Like this is the courage, the faith, the fortitude that it takes to say, you know what, I don't even have the means, but one thing I know for sure, I'm out. Like I cannot do this. Like, I don't even have a way. And to me, that speaks so much to who you are as a person. But then it also speaks to who God is. You know what I mean? Yeah. If we're gonna take it there, just because it's like God was waiting on you to make the decision. God was waiting on you to say enough. God was waiting on you to say, you know what? I'm good, love. Enjoy. Like, you know, it was a thing, but it was like the minute you decided that this was too much, the minute you decided that the pain was too great, doors were opened for you. And I had a similar experience to that, you know, when I decided to step away from a marriage. It was just like, oh no, I'm like this, I can't do it. I cannot do this anymore because it's the burden has become too heavy for me. And now I gotta collect my children. I gotta collect my sanity. And I got to be about the business of living my life, you know, the true life that I want for myself. And so moving into an apartment, I know what that looks like as far as going into a space, because it wasn't just you moving into an apartment. You moved into a 2-bedroom apartment with 5 children. So tell me a little bit about that experience too.
So, I was thankful for anything, really. Mm-hmm. But we moved into a 2-bedroom apartment. And I remember one of the first things that I noticed besides, I remember one of the first things that I noticed was like the biggest gift when I was sitting in that 2-bedroom apartment with our children. And that gift was peace. Mm. I had not felt peace within my home in years.
Miracle.
I remember this. I remember just like, oh, this feels amazing. Literally, it felt so amazing. And I didn't have everything worked out. I didn't know what tomorrow held. I didn't know what the future held. But that piece was it for me.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So
how long did you guys live in the apartment? And what is that? What did that look like? Just as far as, because I feel that when you live in like a small space, even though it's a small space with five children, my experience has been that it gives you the opportunity to lay a new foundation, that there's a closeness and a connection that you can cultivate with your children that you may not be able to do in a big setting because everybody is forced to be together. So you kind of can rework the framework for what it is to be a family, what it is to be a mother, what it is to work together. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we definitely was living in close quarters. Mm-hmm. I remember I didn't even have a bedroom. The two bedrooms were split amongst the boys and the girls. I had literally a twin bed in our living room. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I shared that with my daughter was 2 years old. So me and her literally had a bedroom in the living room. And I remember, as you're talking about laying a foundation for family, I remember thinking, this is an opportunity for me to have a healthiness with our kids. And, you know, I can kind of detox some of the ways that some of the things that they've experienced and the ways that they've been treated via their dad. Of course, you know, if you have parents and one parent is toxic and one parent is this, or you have a toxic husband or have a toxic wife, you're not responsible for them. So I knew that I could not necessarily X out their dad because he's responsible for who he is, but I could go and be who I am and really lay a foundation for healthiness and loving them, healthiness and disciplining them, healthiness overall. So I did love that. I remember our little card table we had. I remember us sitting at the table for family dinners and literally close, the little card table, six people.
Yeah.
And I remember having that be the foundation of us expressing ourselves and pouring out love and, you know, over a meal. And even to this day, now we have such a large table. We use the table just for that.
Yeah.
We have family meetings and it's just a real building time for us at the dinner table.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And I love the fact that you took a situation that was difficult and made it one that was powerful and transformative and healthy. I think you really should sit with the fact that you really took control of your life and you really set the course of getting the life that you deserved. And I think that's honorable. I think it's admirable. And I think that you should really make sure that you honor that. And I believe that you do. I believe that you do. So, but I want to acknowledge it because I think that it's important that we see each other as women and we acknowledge the struggle because again, you were in a city that was not your home. You were in a city where you've had friendships, you probably cultivated friendships and relationships, but it's nothing like having the support of your family. So you were really outside of what you knew. And so to be able to do that and to stand in that, I think is powerful. And I want to acknowledge that. But that's not the end of the story. So next steps, you meet your third husband, and which I absolutely adore, that you guys' situation. I absolutely adore the way you look when you talk about your relationship. So tell us how that worked, how you went from being at the table and actually opening yourself up for love again.
So I want to just go back just a little bit.
Okay.
And say one of the reasons why it was so easy And what solidified my decision to leave my ex is I thought about our children. And I thought about the legacy, literally, I'm leaving as a demonstration of a healthy or unhealthy or toxic marriage. And I didn't want my boys to think that this was okay. And I didn't want my girls to think this is how you should be treated. Mm-hmm. I did want to add that just because that really solidified my decision. Mm-hmm. And so to answer your question about my new third husband, so to be honest, after coming out of such toxicity, I was not ready ever to think in my mind, ever in my heart, to be in another relationship, period. Mm-hmm. I just thought, you know, y'all find me in the little nunnery one of these years. I just want to live in solitude and just me and God and ta-ta. But God began to do a work in my heart. And I know it was him because, again, coming out of such trauma, he began to do a work in my heart. And I felt like he was asking me, will you give love a chance? Real love a chance. And I remember toying around with this. And how I actually met my husband, and I'm not saying that I'm advertising to do this, but I'm just saying my story. How I actually met him, I actually did online dating. And I remember signing up for the online account. And I thought this way would be safer. Mm. Because now all of my antennas were up. I wasn't young anymore. Mm. I can discern a crazy, or I can discern a creep, creep, or you know what I mean? I can discern a sheep in wolf's clothes. You know, I felt like this was safer for me. And so I remember signing up for it. And sure enough, I ended up meeting this guy. And I just thought, you know, we were going to email each other forever. Like, this was just going to be like our ongoing thing. I hope he's okay with that. And we emailed each other for like 2 or 3 weeks. And what happened is, when you live in a small town as we do, you may run into folks. And so what happened was, we were I was out to lunch. Apparently, he was out to lunch. And I was standing in line, and this guy just looked behind him because he said he felt somebody familiar behind him. And he looked behind him. And so I was like, oh, my goodness, this looks like the guy that I've been talking to via email. And sure enough, I get home late that day, email him and say, hey, you know, I think I saw you today. And he told me where he was, where he went for lunch, et cetera. And I was floored. That was the guy. I said, oh, my goodness, I was standing right behind you. And he said, oh, my goodness, I thought that was you. And so after that, literally run right into each other, he felt comfortable enough to ask me out. So he asked me out, and we have been together ever since. Literally. Wow.
So how did you know, aside from you guys being forced to physically meet, right? Because it was like, that was, I feel like, divine intervention. That was like, y'all emailing, you're comfortable. You know, we've kind of worked out some of those things, and now it's time for you guys to actually meet. How was that, you know, because you had already been in situations where it was toxic, or you have been in situations where you may have moved too fast. What made you feel safe enough to move forward?
So I think with him, first of all, I should say, one of the things that almost didn't make me go with him is, and I'm not advertising this, I'm not saying this is the way that you should go as a Christian, etc., but for me, I think this needed to happen like this. But when I met him, he did not have a faith at all. He didn't grow up in church, never been to church. He didn't have a faith. And so that almost, as a Christian, made me go run. But I think because he was so genuine and he was so honest and he was so pure in heart, period, that really drew me to him. I think God needed, you know, I had my ex-husband, the second one, was a leader in the church. You know, he was in ministry, and I think God needed to get my attention, so to speak, and for bring me somebody who wasn't that. You know, I think if I would have had that again, I would have ran. You know, I would have felt traumatized. I would have felt triggers being pushed. So I think with him, because he had such a pure heart and he was honest and he had integrity and the way he lived his life was just so beautifully done, I think that really drew me to him. You know, and over the time as I got to know him, you know, I just realized we just work so well together. He's like my puzzle piece, you know. So, and then of course, months down the road, he did end up meeting our children. It's our children. He did end up meeting the children, and just how that all panned out was just beautiful. Like, I was shocked. You know, I was shocked at how good he was. He, you know, never had any children. You know, I've never really been around kids like that. I was just so shocked at how well he did with the kids.
Wow. So, what made you feel comfortable enough to even allow him to meet your children? Because I know as a mother, it's like, you know, with, I can speak for myself. Like, my kids, it's like I play no games with my kids. You know what I mean? And so, like.
So, yeah. Even with that happening, that was an accident. That wasn't planned. So I tried to kind of date him around the children, kind of spending time with their dad. And so this particular time, the children came back early and I didn't realize it. And we were dating and we were on a date. And so I thought, well, you want to meet the children? You know, so it kind of happened suddenly. I was like not prepared, so to speak, but, yeah, so
yeah.
It wasn't prepared. I think, you know, I wasn't prepared to meet him. I wasn't prepared for him to meet the children. I think God was like, come on, girl, let's do it.
Okay.
This is, come on.
Next step. Here we are. Here are the children. No, I think it's beautiful. And I think I think it's a beautiful thing. The way that it was orchestrated, because that's one way that you know that it was real. And I think that also the fact that he was instantly good with the kids, because I mean, let's be honest, it's no small thing to take on five children. Like, I mean, that takes you have to have that in you. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's not a walk in the park, you know? So even just to be open to accepting five children that you did not naturally conceive, you know, even though, you know, these are the pair of yours children, or, you know, both of yours children at this point, I think it says something to really see how he was able to instantly connect and really, you know, see them, see who they were. And so how is it day to day now, you know, fast forward, how long have you guys been married?
So we have been married 5 years.
Okay.
And day to day now, we are definitely a family. We have really always been a family. When I was dating him, I did make family. We all dated. We had a family dinner night once a week, so that they can get to know him and he can get to know the kids. And day to day, we are definitely a family. I love that the kids have somebody positive to look up to, especially our boys, to see that this is how a woman should be treated. This is how a man should be, etc. So he is definitely a good role model, a great role model to all of the children. And, you know, raising five kids, like you said, is no small task, but I love, again, that we work together so well, and we no matter what comes our way with the kids, and you know, we have one in elementary, a few in middle school, and one in high school, anything can be thrown at you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, no, I think that's beautiful. how do you guys maintain your relationship and your connection with having five children? Because that's, again, not an easy, you know, task, just, you know, for people who have come together and brought five children naturally, you know, into the world. How does that work?
So we do definitely make time for date nights. Since we do have an older kid, a high schooler, he would even give us date nights. You know, he would say, hey, I got the kids, I got dinner, you know, go on a date. You know, so, but we do prioritize that. Even if, you know, now we're in the middle of a pandemic, even if we just bring the date to our house, mm-hmm. you know, we still make time to have a date.
Okay. I think that's wonderful. How has the pandemic impacted just overall family life and just the way that you operate? Because again, I know for myself, it's definitely kind of put some, I've been stretched in ways that I have not imagined up until this point. So how has that been?
Yeah, it has been good in a lot of ways. My husband, my now husband, I should say, he is very introverted. Of course, with having all of us, he has definitely come out of his shell mm-hmm. a lot. But he loves at home. I think secretly I'm introverted as well, even though if anybody knows me, they'll think I'm extroverted. But I do think that I just love being home and I love being, you know, with our family. If a kid is out, like our oldest, he's driving. If he's gone, I can't sleep until he gets back, mm-hmm. you know, because I love all of us being at home. So I think it's been beautiful for us. We always have built-in playmates with having five kids. They, yeah. you know, so there's no need for us to necessarily go out. So. Yeah.
So that's cool. And you guys recently purchased a new home.
Yeah.
So how does that, congratulations first.
Thank you.
How does that feel knowing, like, the looking back on the journey? Because this is an amazing journey, you know, just yeah. looking at the progression and really hearing, like, the details. How does it feel going from that two-bedroom apartment when you decided to take that move to being in a home that fits all of you comfortably, and it's really a space where you guys really can just enjoy each other?
Yeah. So it is beautiful to look back. I even just wrote something about this, is that, you know, God is faithful, and you don't have to have everything figured out. When I was in that two-bedroom apartment, I wasn't thinking about 6 or 7 years from now. I was thinking about today. I was thinking about tomorrow. What is happening for dinner? How can I be a healthy family tomorrow, today, etc. But it is amazing to see that, you know, God still knows things that are on your heart with having a family, and that the two bedroom may be the start, but it's not the finish.
Yes. I appreciate it. I am so grateful for you to share so honestly and transparently with me. I think that this is going to be so powerful for women, no matter what stage they're in, because I think that we do go through stages. And it doesn't even necessarily mean that because, you know, your journey looked like this, that someone necessarily needs to, you know, adopt this as their journey, you know. But I think there's power in telling our stories. There's power in showing the way, you know, in lighting the way for other women to let them know that it's possible. It's possible with one child. It's possible with five children. You know what I mean? Like, you can literally have your desires, the desires of your heart. And I think that if you are coming from a pure place, and if you are allowing, you know, God or whoever you honor spiritually to move you and to, you know, guide you in the way that you should be, that it's possible. So I thank you. I'm grateful that you agreed to share your story and tell everybody how they can get your book. So if they want to dive a little bit deeper and get more details and what that actually looked like and what we didn't cover, and how they can connect with you as well.
So I wrote a book called Stop Putting a Comma Where You Need a Period. And it just really talks about not making excuses. And the comma is an excuse. The period is stop, wait, we need to pause here. We need to stop here. So I wrote that book, and you can get it on Amazon. It's an ebook, or you can get a paperback. And I also, if you're local, I can get you a signed copy of that. And you can find me on Facebook under Miracle Miracle. And that's it.
Well, thank you so much. And go get her book, go support her, join her community. I know you're also doing a course right now about dream interpretations. And yeah. So how can people like sign up for that if they're interested, or even just connect with you? Because I'm sure that won't be the last course that you're doing. How can they connect as far as getting that? What's your website?
So my website is www.miraclerose. It's miracle, R-O-E-S-E.com. And you can connect with me that way as well. I'm always on Facebook posting things. So if you ever see an event that you want to attend, please feel free to reach out. I do respond to Messenger as well. So.
Okay. Thank you so much, Miracle.
Thank you for having me.